We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildebrandt. You will hear Dan's beautiful voice here momentarily because this is an excerpt from College Football Thursdays. It's the live show we do on Spotify every Thursday, 5 p.m. East, 2 p.m. West. You can listen to it for free and live next Thursday, courtesy of solidverbal.com/Spotify. My voice sounds differently right now. I don't have my normal mic. That is because I am recording this on my onboard Mac microphone from a closet of a hotel room in Manhattan. Dan and I are both here. Say hello, Dan.
Yo!
We are getting amped. We are getting psyched. We are getting prepped for our live show tomorrow. College Football, the game show. Live Chelsea Music Hall, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Grab your tickets if you're going to be in the area, if you haven't done so already. This excerpt here, we expanded on the Shania Saturday concept that we trotted out on our Week 6 preview episode, which you can also hear now if you go on back to our RSS podcast feed and download it in your app of choice. Teams that have impressed us, teams that have not impressed us so far through this college football season. We did this show because we're here in person, live at Spotify HQ, overlooking all of Manhattan. So a really cool experience. It was great to do it in person. We got so much great interactivity. We hope if you weren't able to join us this Thursday, that you can do so next week. In the meantime, if we don't see you at the live show, which again, solidverbalive.com, tickets still available. And if you weren't able to join the Spotify live show, we hope we can see you next week in the chat on the virtual stage. And if not, if nothing more, talk to you again after week 6 to talk about all that was in the world of college football. Have a great weekend. ESPN did this thing, gosh, I don't know how long ago. They still do it. They do it for basketball. They do it for football. They'll do it about week 8.
Yeah.
In football season. And they come up with a catchy bit of alliteration to label Separation Saturday, Show Me Saturday, if there's maybe like a big Mizzou game or something. Like they have these, I don't know, these hackneyed lines.
Alliterative nicknames,
Just these lines they trot out. And we thought many years ago, we could be a little bit more creative. So we do it every Saturday, or we do it in preparation for every Saturday, excuse me. And this week, I see some folks posting in the chat here. They know what's coming here. Do you want to lay the groundwork for this game?
Yeah. Once again, we're a month into the season and there are all sorts of results that would have us thinking, oh my God, this team's frisky. This team's good. This team's excellent. This team has what it takes to do incredible things, but it's based on one game, two games, and I'm not sold on really anything dramatic a month in, but there are some teams that I've been impressed with, but also there are some results that just, I don't know. They don't impress me much.
That don't impress me much.
So I'm here to ask you a number of questions, and I have a number of teams that I'd like to review. Yeah. Do these teams impress you much?
That don't impress me much.
Or do they not? Shout out Eileen Edwards, a.k.a. Shania Twain.
That don't impress me much.
Just one more time to really drive it home.
No, I hear you. I wish she sang an alternate version of that song talking about what she is impressed by.
Yeah.
That would have been nice for her soundboard. So we could just hit, that impresses me, John. But she didn't. Yeah. So would you like to start with some teams?
I would absolutely love to.
Let's start with the Texas Longhorns ahead of this. I mean, we talk about the news of Quinn Ewers returning. The totality of the Texas Longhorns 2022 experience. Does it impress you? The close loss to Alabama, some slow starts, some defensive improvement at times, some development of receivers, obviously some interesting ways to get Bijan Robinson the ball, but also you're tossing in a loss to Texas Tech in there. Does Texas impress you much?
Texas is very much thematic with that song.
Okay.
Impress me much. There is a line in there
about Jordan, about Jatavion Sanders, about who?
No, I mean, you're one of those guys who likes to shine his machine.
Oh, okay.
Make me take off
Ty,
my
is that,
shoes.
Is that, are you looking at buffzone.com right now?
No, this is Google, something on the Google. You make me take off my shoes before you let me get in.
Okay.
It's hit or miss with Texas. It's a little bit of both. I've been impressed with the little bit we've seen of Quinn Ewers. But the very little bit that we've seen of Quinn Ewers before he got hurt.
I've been
very impressed by that version of Texas. And I think from what we've seen so far after that Alabama game, granted, we're going to turn a blind eye to the defense for the purposes of my argument. But
okay.
I think all things considered, I am at least impressed by the offense at Texas seemingly taking a bit of a step forward, seemingly incorporating more weapons as they've gotten healthier.
Sure.
As they've kind of grown into the Sark system. I feel like at least on that level, I've been impressed. Defensively, no. So that's the hit or miss quality, right? It's great you've got the shiny car.
Yeah.
But there is a qualifier there that makes me not as impressed. I'm right down the middle. I am both impressed and not impressed about Texas Longhorns.
Okay, fair enough. I think I'm going to go with impressed. I'm just, because I'm saying either something impresses you or it doesn't. I'm going to say I'm impressed, not within the context of Texas's expectations for being excellent, but impressed that going to a backup quarterback as Hudson Card has gotten healthier, he's looked better and better. And to not really lose a step with your backup quarterback who looks of starting quality, I'm impressed. Yeah. I'm definitely impressed.
By the way, Catherine in the chat says, just to kind of put a fine point on this thing.
Yeah.
Things that don't impress Shania per the song are rocket scientists having a car and Brad Pitt.
Okay.
So just like kind of put that away. We can come back to it if we have to, but
it's a lot to unpack there because I think having a car can be impressive. That means you might have your act together. Brad Pitt. I don't know. He hasn't had a great year necessarily.
No, it hasn't.
I'm not that impressed with the things that have come out about Brad
Pitt.
That
don't impress me much.
So yeah. I did like his performance in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Right.
Rocket scientists, I'm pretty impressed with. I got to be honest with you. It's an impressive
job.
We
have rocket scientists who listen to the show, so we have to say nice things about them. What's our next team here?
Ole Miss. Does Ole Miss impress you much coming off of their win in a different kind of way, right? It's not throwing the ball downfield. It's not electricity with speedy receivers all over the place and playmaking quarterbacks, but defense and running the ball and being creative within those two things. Does Ole Miss impress you much?
Ole Miss is favored in every game still on their schedule, and they're only a one touchdown dog at home per some of these projections against Alabama when they play second week of November. So the stats are impressed by Ole Miss, and I am as well. I've said this on the podcast a number of times now. I'll reiterate it again. I like the running game. I like the defense. That is almost completely counter.
Judkins.
Yeah, that is almost completely counter to what Ole Miss used to be, which was they're going to throw it a million times and maybe play a little bit of defense.
Yeah.
This team is different now under Lane.
See, I think they've quietly run it really well. I mean, you look at some of the recent names, obviously Henry Parrish, Snoop Connor, Jerrion Ealy, two sports star. Like they've quietly had those guys who've been playmakers. How about Dexter McCluster? If you just want to sit around naming Ole Miss running backs.
Let's talk some Wildcat quarterbacks.
Yeah, let's
just
talk guys. Buffzone.com. I think Ole Miss has actually done a really nice job being balanced, and perhaps they're less so this year. Perhaps there's less trust with Jackson Dart at this stage in his career with Ole Miss running a more balanced offense. But look, win how you can win. And Ole Miss's defense was a nightmare 3-4 years ago. And right now, they were full on very effective and strong against Kentucky. And I think they will continue to do so. It's just, at this point, the question is, if they do have to throw the ball, if you can put eight dudes in the box most of the game, what do they look like in terms of that out pitch, throwing the ball downfield or adjusting at halftime with Jackson Dart? I'm impressed by Ole Miss.
Yeah, I am as well. The thing to watch with Ole Miss, though, and I suspect we will see it a little bit more as we go through their schedule now the rest of the way, maybe not this week at Vandy, maybe a little bit next week against Auburn, but certainly as we get into like LSU and Alabama and even Mississippi State a little bit later on.
Sure.
The one thing that's really lagged behind on the defensive side is the rush defense.
Yeah. Last year too, for at least the first half of the year.
It's lagged behind. So they will play some teams with good offensive lines. They will play some teams that could run the ball. And that I think will be a pretty big test for them. But I think we're in agreement. We're both impressed by Ole Miss.
We're both impressed. Although the teams that they've played thus far are, who exactly, right? It's UCF. It's
a guy
Georgia
named
Tech.
Troy, BuffZone.com.
Troy.
Central Arkansas, Georgia Tech, Tulsa, and Kentucky.
So we look at that and we say, all right, they beat Kentucky. Do we know how impressed we should be with the Kentucky win? Not fully, but I'd like to see more of a catalog of wins at this point. So I'm impressed. Maybe not impressed much. How about that?
That sounds good. Let us know in the chat. Mr. Pizza Coley says ain't played nobody.
Yeah, it's a relatively reasonable criticism.
Yeah, Jason says eight dudes. Okay, I'm not going to read that.
Eight dudes in the box. Yeah, I understand. Okay.
Thank you.
That's, wheels are turning in the comment section. We all get it.
Yeah, I saw the first part and not the last part. What's our next team?
Okay, let me look at the list I made up, my haphazard list. How about the Michigan Wolverines?
Ooh.
So Michigan with a very nice win. I will say it's still a very nice win to go to Iowa City, a place they haven't won in, 17 years? They haven't won in Kinnick since 2005. House of Horrors. The expectation was they were going to struggle to score, but they managed to, by the end of the game, get to 27 points and won in a sensical way. They didn't push too much against a strong Iowa defense, and their own defense did absolutely what it needed to do against Iowa to win that game. That said, didn't really play anybody in the non-conference portion of their schedule, back and forth against Maryland. So right now, against maybe the worst offense relative to winning and expectations in America, Iowa, has Michigan impressed you much with how they've performed against their schedule?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, you and I had a lengthy discussion where I believe you called me a silly bitch last week. Is that?
Look.
I just want to get that on the record.
We
have it on the record elsewhere. For the Spotify folks that are here in attendance,
I'm not saying you are a silly bitch. I'm saying you were acting like one.
I was
one.
Acting.
Yes.
Okay.
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
Important clarification. No, I mean, they look fine at Iowa. I thought they would look a little bit better on offense, but beggars can't be choosers.
Yeah.
JJ McCarthy was not put in a position where he had to go out there and win the football game. He was calm. He was composed. The game plan seemed good.
Yeah.
Granted, the defense did most of the work or didn't have to do much of the work, right?
Spencer Petras, yeah.
I don't know how, what the proper construction is to label the Iowa offense and how it performs, but the defense did its job, kept that one relatively low scoring on the Iowa side, as most defenses do, and JJ McCarthy was good, played within himself. I do think there was a part of me wanting more from the Michigan offense. And I am curious to see as they get into some better games, namely Penn State and Ohio State, if it's something that comes back to bite them.
Yeah, I'm going to say they don't impress me much. And it's not because of anything they've specifically done. There's something that it's just looking at their schedule. So you beat that non-conference schedule. So you beat Iowa with somehow the worst Iowa offense in history, worse than some other pretty notable ones. Beating Maryland by, 7 points or whatever. I'm going to say what Michigan has done has not impressed me much. I think they are impressive, if that makes any sense, but their accomplishments don't impress me much. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, we've got a comment here in the chat that Michigan has handled business at every turn. there are countless examples of good teams letting bad ones hang around this year.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think that in and of itself is grounds to be impressed. I think, look, my takeaway after the Iowa game, and I said this on a radio show that I did with some folks back home, I could see Michigan being vulnerable. I can see a world in which there's defense that can truly hold down J.J. McCarthy, confuse him, that you're left wanting that extra gear from the Wolverines in a big game. That being said,
yeah,
they're undefeated.
Yep.
That being said, they've taken care of business, as our commenter said, at every turn. And so it's hard to not be impressed by Michigan. That doesn't mean that I don't have questions about, you know, what it looks like the rest of the way.
So basically what you're saying, and if I may put words in your mouth, Penn State or Illinois, before Ohio State, Penn State or Illinois, as for who that team is, when you say eventually there will be a defense who X, Y, and Z. Illinois' defense has been very good against not a lot of teams. And Penn State has looked at times strong on offense, Auburn game, at times strong on defense. Northwestern game, I don't know.
I mean, per the SP Plus,
yeah,
there are three top 10 defenses remaining on Michigan's schedule in the form of Penn State, Ohio State, and I cannot believe we're saying Illinois, but Illinois has been very
good. We're on the Walters wagon here at the Solid Verbal, yeah.
So, all right. So, not impressed, I am. Next team.
By the way, the answer is Illinois.
Illinois.
Look ahead spot. Brett Bielema. Big Ten. Weird Iowa tattoo. I'm just saying right now.
Yeah.
There's something about that game that should be very scary to Michigan fans. I'm on the record right now. And if Michigan blows out Illinois, I was never on the record.
you're making this up. Oh, you silly bitch. Okay.
Oh, you silly bitch. The USC Trojans. The men of Troy. Do they impress you much? Another team who is undefeated, who has taken care of business at every turn. Now, there are some underlying reasons to say, I don't know if this is a sustainable way of winning. Some close scores at halftime, a lot of turnovers, which, again, if you can turn a team over, you should. And that's what good teams do. Are you impressed by USC or USC's accomplishments or however you're interpreting that question? You and Shania.
Me and Shania. If only because I said I am impressed by all the other teams and half impressed by Texas, I will say no on USC.
Okay.
For a couple reasons. First off, the questions about defense persist. Doesn't go anywhere. Right? It's still giving up points.
Yeah.
You can score on USC.
You can push them around up front. Yeah.
You know, like I actually think this week against Washington State is going to be an interesting go-by for us.
Okay.
Because I don't think Wazoo's got the best offense, but Wazoo's got interesting players on offense who could make some magic against USC. So from the defensive side of the ball, no, I'm not. Offensively, they were always going to be really good with the players that they've had. And so it's hard to impress me on offense because I set a very high bar before the season.
Right.
So I think on the overall sentiment side, I would say no.
That don't impress me much.
Wow.
No, I mean, they're turning the ball over like crazy in a good way.
Right. The defense is turning opposing offense.
The defense is having a lot of success when it comes to turning the ball over or getting turnovers. And that in and of itself is really, really good for, you know, your prospects of winning. It's going to bode well for them. I don't know if that's sustainable. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes it is not. But that part of their defense has been good, but they're still giving up a lot of points, still giving up yards. I don't know. In order for them, I think, to really be taken seriously as like a true contender in this thing and not just a really good offense with a lot of NIL money.
Sure.
You got to play a little bit more defense. They could get there, by the way. They could get there before the end of the season, but they're not there yet.
I don't know if they're going to get there in that specific way by the end of the year. I'm actually going to say USC is impressive. And I go back and forth on this. I'm going to say they're impressive because what did they go last year? 4-8?
Yeah.
What are they right now?
I believe they're undefeated.
They're undefeated. They're 5-0. They struggled on offense last year. They were injured. They had guys leaving the program. There was discord within the locker room. There were all sorts of issues that plagued USC. Hire a new coach, bring in all these players, and sure, there is a mercenary aspect to USC and the way that they've constructed this roster. But to throw all these players together, right, to throw last year's Oklahoma quarterback, to throw last year's Pitt wide receiver, to throw last year's Oregon running back, all in the same locker room and expected to succeed, they've done it immediately. Now, that's on offense. Caleb Williams, does he hold on to the ball too long? Perhaps, yes. Is it going to cause four issues against Utah or whoever they end up playing if they end up in the Pac-12 championship game? Sure. But if they're going from a program in complete disrepair under Clay Helton to a program that looks like a 10-win program over the course of a matter of months, I mean, you have to give some credit there, right? Even if the underlying numbers and stats are not necessarily sustainable, it's still impressive.
Yeah, they'll blow it.
I mean, it's Notre Dame and
Utah
at this point, right?
You know they'll blow it.
Yeah, but it's year one. Now, I know their expectations, given the high-profile nature of the hire and bringing in Caleb Williams and Mario Williams and Jordan, all these guys. But certainly, winning is better than losing.
It is.
So that impresses me that throwing in all of those pieces and ending up with a zero in the loss column, I'm impressed. Sorry.
Sam urges a little bit of patience in saying that we should wait to December to truly judge where all things are on USC. Alexander in the chat saying Caleb Williams is impressive. Yeah, I would agree.
He is.
Caleb Williams is really, really good. Certified dude. I would encourage folks, if you are ever so inclined, send in your speaker requests now if you've got something to say on this matter, or if you've got picks that you want to give us as part of Tie versus the World, which we're going to do here in just a little bit. We've got a lot to cover yet on our week six show. I want to throw out Clemson to you.
Okay.
Where do we stand on Clemson?
I'm impressed.
Okay.
I'm impressed with Clemson because I'm willing to throw out recent history with Clemson. I'm willing to throw things out. They're winning games. They're beat up on defense. Their corners gave up a ton against Wake Forest. I'm not going to say I'm impressed necessarily with the results. I think I'm impressed with finding different ways to win. To beat NC State like they did, back and forth early on. The defense tightened up. The offensive game plan, I think, was pretty sound. I don't think Clemson is on the level of Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State. I think they're a tier and a half below. But I think, all things considered, it could have been a worse start.
Yeah.
They could have lost to Wake. They could have lost to NC State. They could have played, and I know they were pretty close to Georgia Tech early on, which is not necessarily the best result, but that was week one. Whatever. I'm willing to throw out a lot of that. I'm not impressed with the five-star rating that was attached to DJU coming out of high school. But again, it's not really his fault necessarily. I think they're winning in spite of, you know, the coordinators leaving and all that kind of stuff. I'm going to say they impress me, but not necessarily within the context of Clemson fan expectations.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not impressed with the wide receiving core.
No.
But I'm pretty much impressed with everything else. And I think you're right to point out DJU, five-star. But DJU's been a lot better this year.
He has been.
DJU is not turning the ball over the way he did a year ago. He's got an 11-1 touchdown to interception ratio. 65% of his passes are completed. Will Shipley, when they use him, is doing an effective job. I think they're doing a good enough job. I like what they're doing with DJU, by the way, in the running game. I like that we're seeing a little bit more designed runs for him. He's not going to blow anybody away with his speed, but he's a big dude. He's a big dude to pull you over. He can get those hard yards, and I think that's really important. So I think they're kind of growing into this thing as they go with new coordinators and some new faces across the board there for Clemson. Defensively, they're stout. They're not as good as I think we thought they might be. Like, we gave the stat out about a week ago how they're not necessarily generating the pressure.
Right.
And they're also giving up a lot in the intermediate passing game. Mm-hmm. Like, they're just very good at doing whatever it is that they do, but they're not necessarily a havoc team.
Yeah.
So I think that makes them impressive across the board. I think they are getting better. And that's what impresses me the most about the Tigers. The fact that there is still room to grow here. And if you look at the schedule, I mean, look, there's not a whole lot of teams on here that really frighten me. I think Clemson's probably better than most of these teams. I also don't think Clemson is impregnable. I think one of these teams, whether it's at Notre Dame or, you know, a weird game at Florida State in a couple weeks, like, I could see that being an interesting scenario for Clemson where, you know, maybe things don't go their way and suddenly they're trailing late in the game. But I think generally I'm pretty impressed by this team.
Can I jump in real quick? Awesome use of impregnable. Like, you absolutely nailed it.
Thank you.
I had to look it up to make sure that you didn't talk about somebody not being able to get pregnant or something.
I mean, we're talking about Buff Zone. That would be impregnate. That's,
I understand what you're saying, but I'm just saying, credit where credit's due. You absolutely nailed that.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.